We're so thankful that you're here listening to Ordinary People, Extraordinary Things. I'm Nancy, and I'm your host. I get to talk to ordinary people just like you about real stories, stories of hope and faith. If these podcasts have been inspirational and encouraging to you, wherever you listen to the podcast, please leave a 5-star review so others can find Ordinary People, Extraordinary Things. Thank you for joining me on Ordinary People, Extraordinary Things. I'm so honored to have Bridget on. Bridget, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for reaching out. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm just so thankful. You know, Bridget and I, this is the first time we're ever talking. We don't know each other. And I just randomly reached out and said, hey, I saw your speech and I think it would be so wonderful for my podcast. And you just graciously said, of course. So that's so amazing.
Oh, well, again, thank you for reaching out and having me on your show.
So could you tell us 3 things about yourself so that people who don't know who you are have an idea of who we're talking to?
Sure. Well, most people will know two of my siblings. There's 4 of us total in our family. But my oldest brother is Kirk Cameron from the show Growing Pains, the movie Fireproof. And then my sister Candace Cameron Bure was DJ Tanner on Full House and Fuller House. That's probably the biggest one, but I'm a mom of 4 children. I live in Palm Springs, California.
If you grew up in the 90s, you knew Full House, Growing Pains. I mean, these were big shows. And it kind of seems like a lot of how people identify you is through other people. You wanted to be an actress.
Yes. One of the most often questions I get asked when people meet me is, gosh, Bridget, how come you never got into the business? Was that just something that you weren't interested in or didn't want to do? And, I was actually the reason why my mom finally agreed to take my siblings and I to Hollywood and meet a Hollywood agent. I was the little performer in the family. I was in the recitals and the school plays and just always, you know, creating different plays and stuff in the neighborhood when we were little. And so finally, my mom didn't really want to get us into the business. She just didn't want that for us. But my siblings and I, especially Kirk and I, we grew up with another young child actor, Adam Rich. We lived in the same apartment building, apartment complex when we were little, and Adam was doing commercials and things. And so his mom said, hey, Barbara, why don't you get your kids into the business? Adam and Kirk are pretty much the same age. They have the same look. And I think your kids would be great. And my mom was like, no, no, no. She said no for a really long time. Adam and his family moved away because he was doing 8 is enough and they needed to be closer into Hollywood. So my mom and Fran didn't see each other for quite a while. Well, they finally ran into each other after several years. My mom showed her a picture, gave her an update of us kids, and she again said, Barbara, please let me take a picture of your kids into the agent. And my mom thought, you know, if anyone was to get in the business, it would be Bridget. She's just the little performer, so okay, I'll do it for Bridget. So my siblings and I went down to the Iris Burton agency, and Iris was the biggest Hollywood agent at the time. She represented every child star that you can even imagine. And so my brother and sisters, we went down to her agency. We got to audition for her, and she took Kirk right away. She just said he had a look that she really liked, wanted to start him off on some commercials and things. She also took our sister Melissa, and Melissa started doing some commercials. Candace was a little too young at the time. She was 4. So Iris said, bring her back when she's 6, because I don't start kids until she was 6. My mom said, that's great, but what about Bridget? That's really why we're here. And Iris said, well, I'm not going to take Bridget today. Bridget's going to need some work with some braces and things, but I'd like to see her back in a couple of years when her braces come off. I just don't work with kids that have braces. There's just not a lot of there's not a whole lot of work out there. And my mom was devastated. She thought, gosh, like this is for Bridget. And so eventually, 2 years later, Candace did go back when she was six, and she started working. And I had a very, very long journey with braces. So that 2 years of me wanting to go back and get into the business never happened. I just had a really long journey. So that was kind of that. That's the story of that day that we met Iris and where our journey started.
So how did that make you feel? Like, this was my dream, and these other people, not even people, my siblings who you love are doing your dream. How do you feel?
Just being eight at the time and my mom saying that Iris just wanted to see me in a couple of years. I think at that time, I was still so super happy for my siblings and, we were happy as a family. That's one thing that I can honestly, thank my parents for, is even though it was Kirk and Candace that were in the industry and doing all of those things, my parents always kept us as a family unit. It was never one is better than the other. So even though Kirk and Candace were working in the entertainment industry, I was still doing the plays and the recitals and things like that growing up. So even when I had those things going on, my whole family was there to come to watch me. Anytime Kirk or Candace had, some kind of, a meet and greet, or they were flying to go somewhere, and my mom thought it would be wonderful to take my sister Melissa or I with them, she always did that. She always included Melissa and I in those trips. Even though I didn't get chosen that day, I think still just as a little girl, I was just excited to be there, excited for Candace and Kirk. And, it was always a tradition whenever, we were with my dad, there was a Foster Freeze ice cream cone back in the day. I'm a child of the 80s. So back in the day, there was a Foster Freeze on our way home, and so my dad's like, "Hey, let's go get a Foster Freeze ice cream cone, after this." And so, it was just something. It was something fun. I think my mom, obviously as a parent, was more devastated just because she thought, "Gosh, two of my kids got picked, and Bridget didn't. Well, three of my kids got picked, but Bridget didn't. And how do I explain that to her?" But again, as a little girl, I don't think I really took it as a heartbreak. Because Ira said, "Come back." So there was that hope for me. Okay, I'm going to get these braces and I'm going to, then get them off and then I'll come back. So.
Cause you never really did get into entertainment as far as in front of the camera, is that right?
In front of the camera, correct. So I had a very, very long journey with braces. And so my braces didn't actually come off until I was out of high school and an older adult. So, but when I graduated high school, there was an opportunity for me to work as a stand-in on the show Full House with my sister. And a stand-in is just, an adult. So I was graduated, I was over 18, and it's an adult that rehearses for a child actor or someone, one of the actors or guest stars that aren't on set, standing, just rehearses for them, typically for a child star that has school for at least 3 hours a day on set. So with the other actors, writers, producers, cameramen, things like that, they don't want to stop rehearsal and wait for the kids. They have to rehearse their scenes without the kids so the stand-ins would come in and just play that character. So we could at least run through the show to kind of get a feel, the writers could get a feel for how the show is going to go. And then usually after lunch is when the kids would come back to set. And then each stand-in, there's usually one stand-in per child, each stand-in would take their character and walk them through the scene, and show them their blocking for that scene. So then when you get into rehearsals in the afternoon, it's just kind of a very quick, you know, run through again with the adults. The kids know where they're going. They can get a feel for the scene. And so, yeah, so even though I wasn't in front of the camera, but I did have over 25-year career as a stand-in right out of high school. So I was very thankful and doing everything that I love to do. I was on a set every day. I was acting. It was definitely something that I absolutely loved. And that's actually on a movie that I worked on is where I met my husband. So that's a blessing.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think that your story, though, probably a lot of people can't say, oh, my family is, you know, in entertainment. But the idea of like, I have this dream God, and when is it actually going to come? How long do I have to wait? Okay, 2 years. I can wait 2 years. But then when 2 years becomes, you know, through high school, like, can you give some either thoughts on how you felt or maybe some ideas that kind of helped you through it that might help someone who's listening that's saying, you know, I feel the same way. Like, I have these hopes, I have these dreams, and God, I'm not seeing it. Where are you? When is this going to happen? Why aren't you listening?
The biggest thing we have to remember is God doesn't forget our hopes, our dreams, our desires. God created us. He put those gifts and those talents in us. And it's truly, His perfect timing. Everything is in God's perfect timing. And, you know, I think it's just something, God gave me my life verse on a very tragic day, for my family. And, it was then when He gave me Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, because there were so many years growing up where I would watch Kirk and Candace, their careers grow and working and doing all the things that I wanted to do. And, there was a part of me that was jealous. There was part of me that was angry. My siblings and I, we are very, very close. We have a very wonderful, wonderful relationship. And again, and I contribute that to my parents, always including all of us. But just to be completely honest and transparent, yeah, I was watching my siblings do these things, and of course there was jealousy there. Of course there were some hurtful things, like, why did they get it and not me? Mm-hmm. And through Jeremiah 29:11, it's just, I'm realizing now that God has a plan and a purpose for everybody, and it's only through Him and His perfect timing that He will show you what those are. He doesn't forget. So for your listeners, I think if there's something that it's never too late. I mean, I will tell you, I'm in my 50s. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm in my 50s, and I've been a dancer my whole life. And I just started a couple years ago trying ballroom dancing after watching Candace on Dancing with the Stars. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm in my 50s. Am I really going to do this? And I said, heck, yes, I'm going to do it. And so I took a ballroom dance class, and I absolutely loved it. And I ended up competing in my first ballroom competition just a few months after that. And I did really well in the competition, and I just had so much fun. And that just kind of led to other things. And so, you know, again, it's just in God's timing. It's not, I don't think personally is stopping what you love and what you enjoy. Pursue those things and let God take you down the journey if He chooses to open those doors for you. I would say, again, if there's something that you love to do or you've always wanted to try, do it. Go for it. You know, and see where God takes you.
kind of what I'm hearing from your story is that you had this dream, the thought of what you wanted, and it didn't turn out how you thought, but God still used your gifts just in a different way than you maybe had hoped.
Yeah, I mean, even though I was not a child actor and a child star on television, he knew I had those desires of being on a set. I mean, I grew up on a set with my siblings, and so he knew that me being on TV and being on a set and working and doing all that, watching Kirk and Candace, he knew that, and he opened that door for me to be a stand-in after I graduated. Obviously, it never would have happened if I was still in school, that opportunity. If that opportunity came up, I would have said, no, I can't. I'm still in school. So that opportunity opened up afterwards. After I graduated, about 5 or 6 years ago, my brother Kirk did a movie called Saving Christmas. And he said, Bridget, he came to me and said, Bridget, there's a character in the movie that is my sister. And I wanted to know if you want to play my sister in this movie. And I said, yes, of course. And so I got to work with Kirk on a set, on a feature film, and there was hair and makeup and wardrobe, and, you know, it was on the big screen. And so that, again, was just a door that God was opening for me to work, you know, not only with Kirk, but with, you know, doing the movie, and again, working with Candace, you know, for 6 years on the set of Full House. I just kind of look at it, and now, you know, God's opening that door for me for speaking, and I'm traveling. I'm, you know, meeting amazing, women and ladies at these women's conferences and conventions and churches and sharing my story. And I feel like God, you know, started my testimony when I was a little girl. He started my story mm-hmm. when I was a little girl. Back when I was told no by the agent, you know, and just going through, and again, you know, giving me my life verse and him talking to me. I always thought, you know, when people say, oh, my life verse is this or my life verse is that, I kind of thought like one day, gosh, I don't think I have a life verse. Like, you know, I don't think one has really hit me that, oh my gosh, this is my life verse. Well, in 2015, my husband and I and our three kids, we were taking a road trip from Palm Springs to Nashville, Tennessee. Kirk was hosting the K-Love Awards, and he asked if we would like to go. And we said, yes, of course. And when Kirk and I were younger and our siblings were younger, my mom and dad, we would always road trip. It was just one of our most fun family memory that I have. We would road trip a lot. So I thought this would be fun for our family. So we traveled from Palm Springs to Nashville. And when we were in, we were near Groom, Texas. We were on the I-10, and, the I-10 in that area is a 4-lane highway with a grass median in the center and on both sides. And when we were driving, we came into a dirt storm. And when we got into this dirt storm, the dirt was very thick and very heavy, and eventually we could not see out of the front of our car. It completely blacked out our car. My husband stopped the car, and he started to drive very, very slowly, and came upon the back end of a semi truck that was stopped and had its hazards on. And he was driving very slowly, and eventually he stopped behind the semi truck. And just after a few moments of him stopping, now again, there's so much dirt, we still could not see anything around us. And moments after he stopped the car, he got this sense, he got a feeling, he got, God was telling him to move our car to the side of the semi truck on the shoulder. And so he said to me, Bridget, I need to move the car. And I said, okay. So he did. And within seconds of us moving the car onto the shoulder, a semi-truck going 75 miles an hour did not stop and hit the back of the semi that we were just behind. And the cab of that semi-truck exploded and caught fire, and the driver died, and my husband.
Oh my gosh.
It was like, I describe it as a Hollywood movie, because that's just what it was. You can feel the heat from the fire. You felt the impact of the crash. Our car shook. And, I mean, it was not more than just, you know, a few feet away from us. I mean, we were next to that semi on that shoulder. And my husband wanted to get out to help the driver. And I screamed at him, no, stay in the car. And God spoke to me in that moment and said, get Reese. And Reese was in, we had a big SUV at the time, and Reese was behind me in the back seat. And God said, get Reese. And so I grabbed her and I said, Reese, get up here. And she was in the middle seat. My son Cameron and I were in the back row. John and my son Everett were in the front. Everett was in the passenger side. And so I put Reese in between Cameron and I buckled her in, and no more than just a second after I buckled her in, another semi-truck came full speed, didn't stop, hit the back of our car and pushed us down into the grass ravine on the side. And his truck was wedged in between the semi that was on fire and my SUV, and the driver jumped out and stood on the hood of our car, and I was banging on the windshield, and he looked at us and he said, get out, the cars are on fire. And so my husband and Cameron couldn't get out of their side, so I got everybody out on the passenger side, and when we got out, I could hear voices in the distance, and I heard them say, over here, over here, over here. And so we ran over. Now, through all of this, just to kind of give you an idea, it was still so incredibly dark from the dirt. And now you've got black smoke from a fire and all of this. So I couldn't see where these voices were coming from. I just told my kids to run towards them. And so we ended up seeing a small little pickup truck with a couple of a young couple, and they just kept telling us to come over. And so we got into the car, and they drove us down away from the scene just a little bit. I was on the phone with 911 trying to tell them where we were. I had no idea where we were, but I was just telling them, we need help, there's been an accident. And I didn't know how many vehicles were involved. And so eventually all these police officers and fire trucks and ambulances were on the scene, and there was so much commotion. The semis were on fire, my car was on fire, and through all of this commotion, and all of this chaos, God kept putting in my visual Jeremiah 29:11. I could see it, just the words, Jeremiah 29:11, and kept putting it in my eyesight over and over and over and over. And to be completely honest with you, I started to get really annoyed at God. I was like, what are you trying to tell me? Like, we were just in a major, major accident, and there's so much chaos going on. Our car's on fire. Everything that we had, that we brought with us, is burning. And you're trying to tell me something, and I don't know what it is. And so eventually we were taken to the motel in Broome, and I knew there was a Bible in that motel room in the nightstand. And when we got to the room, I burst through the door. I grabbed the nightstand, opened it, grabbed the Bible, and I turned to Jeremiah 29:11. And that was the day that God gave me my life verse. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to not harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future." And then God spoke to me and said, "Bridget, all those years that you have wondered and questioned, why haven't I used you? Why haven't I used your gifts? Did I forget about you?" He said to me, "Bridget, I've never forgotten about you. I've given you your gifts and your talents, and I have plans for you, but you have to trust me that in my timing is perfect, and I will use you, and you, but you need to trust me." And that was such a pivotal moment for me, that I just had to trust God in what he was going to do in my life. And here I am now speaking to thousands of women across the U.S. and, you know, traveling and doing what I love. Again, God doesn't forget. He knows. And we just have to trust him.
Wow. Yeah. That is a crazy story. What I was thinking of when you were speaking was, I hear so much of waiting in your story. And when God uses something terrible, really, to kind of really show himself to you as well as show what he wants of you. And neither of those things we like. Yeah. Right? I mean, we hate waiting.
And even now, I mean, I think one of my words that I love so much, I found a mug. I'm a lover of, I have an obsession with mugs. Like, yeah, I don't drink coffee, I drink tea, but I have an obsession with mugs. And I found a mug the other day, and it was the words, "Be still."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I have to get this, because that's what God's been showing me recently, is be still and know that I am God. And it's just in those waiting moments where we don't think God is moving or working or doing things for us, he tells us to be still. Mm-hmm. Because I am doing those things. And it is hard to wait. It's so hard to wait. You know, but again, be still and trust and know that he is God, and he is doing bigger things on your behalf than anything that you can imagine. And again, it's just trusting him.
When I was praying this morning about our talk, the story of Moses and Aaron and her kind of like helping him raise his hands up to win the battle came to mind. And I kind of thought of that because I've heard it many times, like, oh, everyone wants, not everyone, but a lot of times we want to be Moses, right? We want to be the person that's more remembered or that you kind of think of. But how important it was for Aaron and her to be there to raise Moses' hands and help him and kind of be the people that a little bit more on the sideline, I guess you might say, than Moses. And I maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I kind of just, that kind of came to mind with your story of your brother and your sister kind of being more in the front. What would you say to people who feel like that? Like, hey, I want to be Moses. I want to be like that. But God is saying, I need you to hold this person up. I need you to help this person. I need you to be that person. Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I think God uses us in just many different ways. And, you know, if he's using you to help lift someone else up and to be there for that person, you know, that's God just using you and your talents and your gifts, to show that person, to be there for that person, to get them through what they're going through. And God, I don't like to say that, I never like to say, oh, it's a coincidence. I don't like that term, because I believe those coincidences are really God weeks. God is placing you and in certain situations, that he foresees, the best for you. And maybe it isn't being front and center. Maybe it is being on the sideline or behind, but God is using you. And, you know, when you were saying with my brother and sister, I truly, truly believe that, you know, God put my family in the entertainment industry for a purpose, because he knew what Kirk and Candace were going to do, years down the road and what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. You know, God used them in the industry to build a platform for their ministries and what they're doing now for people to look at them and to watch them and to listen to them to bring the word of God to such a dark world, to be the light. If I didn't have those siblings before me, then I don't think I would have had the platform to be able to go and speak and tell my story. Mm-hmm. You know? So I'm grateful that God chose them before me. Mm-hmm. And I was there to raise them and to lift them up as a sibling, watching their careers, you know, and being super proud and stuff. Even now, I'm so incredibly proud of what they're doing. And people say, you know, gosh, you must be so proud of the ministry that they're doing now. And I am, because they're such a voice. They are such a voice in this world. And I'm so proud and honored to be their sibling. But again, if it weren't for them and the platform that God gave them, I wouldn't be here. Being on your show, having your listeners listening to me, like, who is this person, you know? So I'm truly grateful for that. So sometimes I like being on the side.
Well, I appreciate your story and how candid you were with us and just being vulnerable. And I just know this is going to help so many people, because hearing a story of waiting and kind of also seeing like what God has done, and God's not done, right? Like, but seeing kind of portions of that, I think is so hopeful to so many people who are maybe just actually more in the midst of it, like still waiting, right? Like in that spot. So I appreciate it. And I always love to end with favorite Bible verse or story, which you've already given us. And so maybe what are you grateful for?
Oh, I'm grateful for, I'm grateful for God showing us who he is. Growing up, we didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't come from a Christian home. A lot of people think that, the Cameron family, oh, they grew up with, you know, in a Christian home with Christian parents. No, we didn't. And, but I'm so grateful that God chose us, and God had his protection over, our family, and God just revealed to us who he is, through Kirk. I'm just so grateful that I have a personal relationship with him, and that I can, you know, turn to him for anything. And I have just somebody that I can always count on and be there, that he just loves me for me. And, you know, God's love is just amazing. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for who God is and what he has done for us on the cross. So I'm grateful for that.
That's amazing. Thank you for being on, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope that you found this impactful. Stories are so powerful. We love stories. That's what our life is. Songs, TV, music, movies. These are all stories. Please tell your story. We would love to hear it here, but just tell it to family. Tell it to friends. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." This is Jesus speaking. And I think we get really wrapped up in, how do I be a witness? How do I disciple? It's easy. Tell your story. Tell your story of how God has moved in your life. Tell the stories. Tell the hard stories. Tell the good stories. Tell the wonderful stories of how he's shown up. And in that way, you will make his name great. You will be a witness. You will be a disciple. It's not difficult. It's all about stories. Tell your story.